The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
The acceleration is monstrous. There's a big chunk of adrenaline, and it's a pinch of insanity. I'm totally focused.
Welcome to Commando On Demand Insider, your fast-paced weekly update straight from Kim's desk to your ears. I'm Mike James, and in just a bit, have you ever wondered what it's like to drive in the gig economy, drive for Uber, for Lyft, or be an Amazon Flex driver? Well, we've got one for you today, and we're going to ask him all kinds of great questions, including how much money you can make as a part-timer or a full-timer, what kind of platforms he drives for, and what are the prerequisites to doing something like that. That is coming up in just moments. Also today, Corey Bly, he is the crew chief for Valerie Thompson. Valerie is the world's fastest female motorcycle racer. We're going to talk to Corey about some of the technology and some of the tools that he uses to get her going fast. And then the lady herself, Valerie Thompson, will join us on Commando On Demand. And she, as she returns to Lake Gardner, Australia, to attempt a new speed record on four wheels. Her goals include breaking multiple records, including the 415.867 mile per hour record for a four-wheel motorcycle. That is coming up later on Commando On Demand. Also, you heard of the company HQ Trivia. Well, they went under in a blaze of not glory the other day. Kim is going to talk about how scammers, cheaters, and a failed mutiny killed that once popular fad. And April 15th is still more than 8 weeks away, but you might want to consider filing your taxes now. Why? Kim has that. And of course, every week we find a fun trivia question and ask that you give us your best guess without using Google or any of the other search devices. A lot of what we use today and take for granted was discovered or created by accident, from food to technology. Even x-rays were discovered by accident. Even cornflakes started as a bread dough that was left too long and then baked. That leads to this week's trivia question. Which of the following household items was created by accident? Was it a ceiling fan, a microwave oven, a TV remote, or a vacuum cleaner? Again, one of those was created by accident. Ceiling fan, microwave oven, TV remote, or vacuum cleaner. Pick out your answer and we'll have that for you later in this podcast. And a reminder now that this is not the Kim Commando show. Every week, Kim gives you the very latest tech news, tips, DIYs, takes your questions, and so much more on the Kim Commando show. Now, that's available as a podcast that you can download and listen on your schedule. You can also watch us record the podcast and chat in the chat rooms and a bunch of other things. That's available in one place, getkim.com. Find out more. Go to getkim.com. All right, getting started in just a moment with an Amazon Flex driver. His name is Chad. He'll be with us next on Commando On Demand.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's Commando On Demand, where we talk to some of the most influential people in technology, the innovators that shape the future and trailblazers who challenge and inspire us to do amazing things. Our first guest, his name is Chad, and he's an Amazon Flex driver, but much, much more than that. Here's Kim.
Hi there, Chad.
Hey, Kim. How are you doing?
Good. You know what? I'm so glad that you came on the show with us because I've been wanting to talk to an Amazon Flex driver to really get the inside scoop, and apparently you're like a pro at this.
Well, I don't know if I'd say pro, but I've made some YouTube videos about Amazon Flex and talked to some journalists about it. So anything you want to know.
So tell me, so do you use your own car or do you use their car?
No, you use your own car for Amazon Flex. It's pretty easy.
And so I go on to Prime Now or Amazon Prime, right? And then mm-hmm. I fill it out. And then tell us what happens after that. You go to the warehouse, and I notice that all the bags will have like a word on it, like rose petal or lifeguard, yeah. whatever it is.
I know. It's always such a random word. Well, I just did a Whole Foods delivery yesterday, and like some of the words are like break and alike and cross. And it just depends. There's a few different types of jobs within Amazon Flex. Some of them are delivering with Whole Foods, which I actually prefer. And some of it is like you go to an Amazon warehouse and you're either delivering, you know, just regular packages, or you're doing like the Prime Now or the Amazon Fresh, which is basically where you order groceries through Amazon, not Whole Foods.
Sure.
It just kind of depends on which one you're doing. I mean, if it's Whole Foods, you go to a Whole Foods store. If it's anything else, you just go to the warehouse. And sometimes you drive your car right into the warehouse, and sometimes you park outside the warehouse and you go in and get the packages, load up your car, and then push the crate or whatever back into the warehouse.
So let me ask you a question, though. How do you know that this is something that you want to do? I mean, you have the app running, and then does it come up and say, hey, Chad, here's something that you want to do? Or do you put the parameters, say, I'm available between these hours?
Oh, yeah. So to get work, you do set up like a schedule, like I'm available between these hours and these hours. Most people put midnight to midnight. That way they have the most availability. And the problem is trying to actually get the shifts or blocks, as we call them. It's not like they're released at a certain day and time. It's like you just open the app and randomly keep hitting refresh until you see something that you would want to take, and then you swipe and accept it. And
okay.
Some people use bots to grab them like within milliseconds.
Oh, tell me
about
that.
You have to be really fast.
How do the bots work, and are they, I guess you'd say, I don't want to use the word legal, but is it kosher to use those?
It depends, because like the terms of service for drivers, it says you can't like give your login credentials to anybody. So it's like there are people like out there on the dark web or whatever, that if you give them your login credentials and you pay them like a subscription fee, they have like, you know, computer bots that will log in on your behalf and swipe, you know, 10,000 times a second or whatever.
Wow.
It is to get you work. There's also hardware bots you can buy on eBay. It's like a physical device you actually attach to your phone, and it simulates the tapping and swiping on your smartphone screen. And I actually tried one of those, but it didn't work very well, so I just threw it away.
How much is a bot?
The hardware bots are usually about $100 or so, and then the software bots, well, I mean, they can range anywhere from like $20 to $500 or something like that. I've never really looked into the software ones. I don't want to mess with that.
I don't blame you. I wouldn't want to go there, because then you're giving some of your login and who knows what, right? So I guess, you know, the big question is, I mean, after you pay gas and you, mm-hmm. this is your time, and, you know, you're going to get the packages, and then, you know, it's like, you know, a 10% tip that's put on top of that. And I mean, I'm the mm-hmm. person, I always tip a little bit more. And I would assume that some people would probably change that as well.
Right.
How much are you making per hour, do you think?
Well, it depends on the nature of the work. If you're just delivering packages, it's usually a flat $18 an hour. Although the advantage to that is, say like you get a block for like 4 hours, that's $72. If you can deliver all your packages in like 2 or 3 hours, well, then you're essentially making more than 18,
oh,
you know?
Like,
if you,
okay, I understand.
And you have all that time. Like, you're guaranteed that money up front. But if you're doing Whole Foods or Amazon Prime Now or the Fresh deliveries, it's like a minimum. Like, it's usually $30 for at least 2 hours plus tips. And in fact, I do Whole Foods, and it always says 30 to 57. And I usually get more towards the 57 time. Customers seem to like me, and they tip pretty well.
And so, because you said Whole Foods was your most favorite, have you done Uber and Lyft and the other ones?
Yep. I'm a full-time gig economist, as we call ourselves. It's like gig economies, you know, rideshare driving, Uber and Lyft. And also you know, food delivery like Instacart, DoorDash, Postmates, Uber Eats.
Wow. So do you?
I also do TaskRabbit.
Oh, do you really? So do you have like all these apps running on your phone saying, okay, well, I think I'll go help this person put a bike together and then I'm going to deliver this turkey from Whole Foods. How is that working for you?
Well, it depends on the app. Like Uber, Lyft, and Postmates, you can just go on and off whatever you want. But like Instacart and DoorDash, Amazon Flex, you have to schedule your shift in advance. There's pros and cons to each. I mean, it's nice to be able to work whenever you want, but it's also nice when you have a schedule so you know exactly when you're starting and when you're going to be done.
So if you had to give somebody one piece of advice you want to get into the gig economy, what would that be, Chad?
I'd say you're not going to get rich doing it. A lot of people get into this line of work because they see clickbait videos saying, like, I made $100 an hour as an Uber driver. Well, maybe you did once, but that's not the norm.
That's really good advice because so many people fall for those clickbait ads, and it's just crazy. Chad, thank you so much for joining us. And for everybody, we're going to post a link to Chad's YouTube channel so you can check out some of his videos.
Hey, don't forget, if you have a question that you want answered by Kim Komando in all her digital goddessness, it's pretty easy. Just go to komando.com, and in the upper right-hand corner, there is a button called Be a Caller. Now tell us a couple of details about your question, and we'll have a producer reach out to you and set you up a time where you can come on the show and ask your question. It's a lot of fun. Again, that's in the upper right-hand corner of komando.com, KOMANDO.com, and then click on Be a Caller. All right, Corey Belai, he is next. He is the crew chief for Valerie Thompson, who is the fastest woman ever on a motorcycle. Just ahead on Commando On Demand.
Here's one from the Wow That Was Fast department. This past Friday, the once novel and hugely popular HQ Trivia closed its doors. Here's why. Back in October 2017, HQ Trivia appeared. Users could win real money if they answered all the questions. Missing just meant one elimination. The game was played live multiple times a day, and at one point, it had more than 2.5 million people playing. HQ Trivia raised almost $16 million in investor money. Then cheaters found a way to game the game. Winnings dwindled. Copycats appeared. The staff attempted a mutiny, trying to oust their boss. In the end, it took less than 3 years for an online game to come from nothing, become a multi-million dollar enterprise, and then fail altogether. HQ Trivia is dead.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Well, Commander listeners know technology moves fast and it's almost sometimes impossible to keep up with. And that's why there's Commando On Demand, Insider. It's our way of keeping you informed on the cutting edge of technology. Our next guest is a crew chief for the world's fastest female motorcycle racer. Here's Kim.
Last year, a Bugatti shattered the record for the fastest car in the world, hitting a speed of 304 miles per hour. Now, the crew at Target 550 is aiming to break it again, and by a huge margin. Our first guest is Corey Belai, crew chief for Target 550. His aim is to help driver Valerie Thompson capture the record using the latest innovations in speed, tech, and safety. Let me start by asking you, what kind of car does it take to go 550 miles per hour?
A car has to be very aerodynamic. Car has to have a lot of power. It has to be built safely, and you have to have a driver that'll put her foot down and make it go.
And just hold on for the ride, right?
That's right.
Okay, so you talked about it being aerodynamic. How much does it weigh?
Car weighs almost 9,000 pounds.
Wow, that's big.
Yeah, weight is not a problem for what we're doing. It's actually a benefit for traction.
And then what kind of engines are on board?
Car has two aluminum Hemis, similar to what you'd find in drag race cars.
And what kind of horsepower are they?
Currently, they make 2,500 horsepower each. We can tune them up a little bit more than that, but we haven't used the power that we have yet.
2,500 horsepower? Jeez, each. Oh my gosh. I had to tell you, I have a Ferrari F12 Berlinetta And I think that car kicks butt, but yours kind of beats mine just out of the ballpark.
Yeah, the Target 550 car at about, maybe an eighth of inch of throttle travel will have as much power as your Ferrari does.
And so how long is it going to take for you to get to the 550 miles per hour mark?
You mean in a single race, it takes roughly 45 seconds. You know, we're working at it in the big picture. We're still taking baby steps up towards it. The car's only made less than 12 passes at this point, so we've got a ways to go yet. We're hoping to see something in the mid-400s in Australia this year, for sure.
So Valerie's going to get in the car. And tell us what happens at that point. She presses the gas pedal and just goes, or what happens?
Yeah, once the car's running, getting the car started and everything, the driver just waits. There's nothing for her to do. Once we get the signal from the starter to go, we push the car to 25 or 30 miles an hour, at which point she drives away. She stands on the throttle and the car leaves, hopefully very quickly.
And then how does she stop? Yeah.
The car has parachutes for stopping. There's four separate parachutes, two primary chutes that are fairly small that go out at speed, and then two larger chutes that go out at about 300 miles an hour to bring it down to a stop.
I know you don't want to think about this, but what kind of safety mechanisms are on board for her?
Oh, no.
The car is very safe. The roll cage that she's in is made out of, the rules specify a certain size tubing. The tubing that we use for the car is 15% larger diameter and 30% thicker, and there's a lot more of it around the driver. The car has four or three Halon fire extinguishing bottles in the event there's a fire. There's the parachutes for stopping. Car does have nominal brakes for the wheels, hydraulic brakes like your street car would have.
So when we start talking about this competition, what kind of challenges are there so to make sure that you guys are going to win? And gal, I should say.
Part of the problem will be the one-hour turnaround. In order to set the record for the FIA, the sanctioning body, you have to make two passes within an hour. That's going to be a real challenge to get the car ready to go a second time within an hour.
If you had your perfect scenario, how much time would that actually take if you didn't have to rush around?
We'll get it done in an hour. It would be nice to have 2 hours. Ultimately, it'd be nice to have overnight just to check everything on the car, but that's not feasible.
So how did you find Valerie Thompson? I mean, it's not like you just put an ad out on LinkedIn and says, hey, listen, we're looking for somebody to go 550 miles per hour.
You know, Valerie has a lot of experience with motorcycles, and she's been riding a motorcycle streamliner, the Bub 7 streamliner for Dennis Manning for a number of years. And Dennis Manning is friends with Marlo Trite, who owns the Target 550. And when our current driver, Les Davenport, decided to retire, Marlo mentioned to Dennis that he was looking for a driver, and Dennis said, why don't you talk to Valerie? And that's how it came about.
So what kind of track is this, Corey? I mean, I imagine that if Valerie hits a patch of dirt or some rocks, that it would be devastating. So what is the track made of?
The track is salt, just like table salt. And it's anywhere from a few inches to a foot or so thick. There is no gravel. There is no dirt exposed. It's pure salt. Well, we've driven 15 miles of it, and there's no visible change in it and no visible end to it.
And so why do this in Australia instead of Utah?
The salt flats in Utah are quite a bit smaller. The salt conditions are deteriorating rapidly. Last year, we did some severe damage to the car because the track conditions were so poor. The course in Australia is a lot bigger and a lot smoother.
And what kind of tires do you need?
We run Goodyear's purpose-built land speed tires. They're 30-inch tires certified to 600 miles an hour. We've had really good luck with the tires, no problems whatsoever. They're very good tires.
So what is the biggest piece of advice that you give Valerie as she sits in that car?
The throttle pedal works both directions. If you get in trouble, stop, we'll figure it out, and we'll try again.
Yeah, that's great advice right there. I mean, because I'm sure once you're sitting in there, you don't want to give up. Well, we wish you the best of luck. I know you're going to win it. I just have a feeling.
Thank you very much.
All right, it's Commando On Demand, and did you answer our trivia question? Which of the following household items was created by accident? Was it a ceiling fan, a microwave oven, a TV remote, or a vacuum cleaner? We're going to have that answer for you in the next segment. Also, it's the world's fastest female motorcycle racer, and she's also Sturgis Motorcycle Hall of Famer. Valerie Thompson is next on Commando On Demand.
Even though April 15th is still more than 8 weeks away, here's why you should file now. And if you're filing electronically, make sure that your computer, Mac or Windows, has good security software. The IRS has already received thousands of reports of data thefts from dozens of tax preparation firms. And for those making $66,000 or less a year, the IRS lets you file on their site for free. The problem isn't with the IRS or tax software. Fake tax websites are mimicking the IRS website and data thieves are stealing refunds or identities. So step one, make sure Windows Defender's running. For Macs, use the security app you like. Step two, use two-factor authentication to file. This way, your phone will be used to verify that everything you file is really you. I'm Kim Komando.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then, taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome back to Komando on Demand, and this is going to be a great interview. It's the world's fastest female motorcycle racer, and she's a Hall of Famer at the Sturgis Motorcycle Hall of Fame. It's Kim's interview with Valerie Thompson.
Our next guest, Valerie Thompson, is the world's fastest female motorcycle racer, as well as an 8-time land speed record holder. Now, the fastest woman on two wheels is set to become the fastest on four wheels by piloting the Target 550 car to a speed of 550 miles per hour. Hey, Valerie, thanks for coming on the show today. I'm sure it's got to be nerve-wracking what you have chosen as a profession. How the heck did you get into this?
It is nerve-wracking, but you know what? I have the front row seat to history, so that's all I got to say on that end.
So what did you do before you became like the fastest woman in the world?
Well, I was a former banker at a banking industry and for 13 years, and I actually got laid off. And I said, my next career is going to be something outdoors, some passion with passion. And I sure did create it.
Well, you know, hiking would have been good.
Well, I love hiking too. That's one of my favorite things to do.
Okay. So tell us about the motorcycle race, your first record.
Well, my very first record, it was on a Harley-Davidson Panhead by Keith Ball at bikernet.com. And I was going a little slower, like 143 miles per hour, but I set a record and it was absolutely the start of my land speed racing journey. Now I've gone up to 328 miles per hour in the Bub 7 Streamliner purposely built for me to go fast.
Okay, so what is going through your head? I mean, that you're going to go this fast. I mean, do you blank everything out, or you're like, are just holding on, or what's going on?
The acceleration is monstrous. There's a big chunk of adrenaline and it's a pinch of insanity. I'm totally focused. It's calming. It's slow motion. I mean, at the end of the day, I need Advil.
Have you ever crashed?
Yes. I have crashed in Australia 2018 in the Bub 7 Streamliner motorcycle, and we were attempting to set the world record of 376 miles per hour, but unfortunately, I only made it to 363, and you know, that's where I sit with that. So I survived, yes, I survived. The team survived. You know, I've had the best safety equipment, the best people to build these motorcycles and these Streamliner cars and whatnot. So, you know, anywhere from my fire suit and a Hans device to my helmet to arm restraints. We even have a new molded seat from one of our crew members. He came up with this Velcros on the side to take me out if I need to, all in one piece.
So tell us about the race that's coming up in Australia.
Well, the race coming up in Australia is set for March 23rd through the 30th, and we are racing in the outback. It's completely down under in the it's like a salt flats there, like we have here in Bonneville, and we're going to attempt the world record of 415 miles per hour.
Wow! Have you ever come close to that?
And no, I successfully set a record of 328 miles per hour on two wheels.
And so now you're really going for it.
Oh, I'm going for it. We're all going for it. I have a great crew. We have a great team, and I have a great piece of machine that's going to take us to the next level.
So you said that it's relaxing for you to actually do a race like this. I you know, I'm just thinking, you know what? I love cars. You know, we sat there at a dinner party right next to each other. We were talking the talk, right? But I don't think I could get into a car with two rockets strapped to my butt and just go for it.
Yes, you can. If I can, you can.
Is it one of those? Is it one of those things, like, once you get over the fear, that it becomes kind of second nature almost?
Well, it is second nature, but you know, there's a lot of work to be done inside of the cockpit. I mean, you have to be 100% focused. You know, there's no room for errors, and you have to be perfect in your runs. You know, you have to shift on time. You know, you have to follow use your peripheral. There's a lot of things that come with going that fast because like I said, everything does slow down, but everything else is in fast motion.
So how did you put together, I mean, it takes money to do this. How did you put all this together so that this way you'd be able to live your dream?
Well, I am actually working on that as we speak. We have some great sponsors that are by our side that have been with us. And, you know, we seek sponsors and we need sponsors. And, you know, I did set up a GoFundMe page that, you know, helps support the rest of our, you know, efforts. It's expensive to be racing in two different, you know, in Australia. It's a lot of work.
Well,
it takes a lot of money.
It does. I mean, because you're going to have to ship everything down there, get it to the Outback. Do they even have the internet?
We have no internet. So I am sorry, fans, for not being able to keep you all posted because there's no nothing.
Now, of course, you know, all the conspiracy theories are going to come out that maybe you didn't do the record and that you came back to the United States and then you photoshopped all this together.
Oh, no, we're doing the record. I'm sorry. We're going to get it. I want to retire. You know, I want to retire on four wheels. I want to retire on two wheels when the new bike is ready. And you know, that's on my bucket list to retire at 400 plus.
And so is this it? I mean, after this race, do you retire?
I think so.
You know, Valerie, I'm not seeing that. I mean, I think, you know, you're going to break this record and then suddenly there's going to be another record and another record and another record. And we're going to be at a dinner party 20 years from now. And you'll still be talking to me about, yes, I'm going to break that next record.
I am going to break this record and then I'll break the next record on two wheels. So I have a really great chance to make history. And that's what I want. I want to leave my mark, my name in the record books forever. You know, this record that I'm going for has been there since 2008. So I think it's time.
Well, we wish you best of luck, safe travels, safe driving, and it's been great having you on the show today, Val. And you can check out Valerie's official website at ValerieThompsonRacing.com to see all the hard work that everyone is putting in to make this world record achievement a reality.
It's time for the answer to today's Commando on Demand Insider Trivia. And which of the following household staples was created by accident? Was it a ceiling fan, a microwave oven, a TV remote, or a vacuum cleaner? The answer is the microwave oven was created by accident. It's a pretty fascinating story. One day in 1945, a Raytheon engineer named Percy Spencer was researching electromagnetic waves for the military when something strange happened. The candy bar in his pocket actually melted. And he was able to recreate what happened with other foods, then patented the radar range that same year. The first commercial version was sold to an Ohio restaurant in 1947 for $3,000. That's the equivalent in today's dollars of about $35,000. So it wasn't really commercially successful until 1967 when they got the cost down and started releasing it as kind of a mass-produced item. If you did guess the microwave oven, good for you. Good job. And thank you for listening to Commando on Demand. Again, if you like this show, if you feel you've got even one thing out of listening to Commando on Demand, please like and subscribe and share it with your friends. We would really like that. It helps more people find us. And here now it's Kim with some final thoughts.
If you really want to get someone's attention, file a lawsuit. That's the hope behind a new app designed to let you sue robocallers. For years, robocallers have hidden behind the First Amendment, but the fed up public is starting to fight back and using call blockers. Far more powerful than a do not call registry, Robo Revenge is an app specifically designed to threaten robocallers with legal action. The clever app uses a fake credit card number that's automatically given to the robocaller. By providing this payment information to the scammer, the app is able to capture transaction details about them that can be used in a lawsuit, leading plaintiffs to sue for up to $3,000 per call. This may seem too good to be true, but a federal law enables you to sue relentless callers. Find it at donotpay.com. I'm Kim Commando.